Indeed, they stretched him wide. Indeed, he hung his head and he did die. But I'm so glad. I'm so glad that's not how the story ends. That indeed, 3 days later, he rose again with all power in his hands. We serve a risen Savior who paid the price for my sins and your sins. And now he's seated at the right hand of God the Father, praying for you and for me, interceding for us. It's good to know that we serve a risen Savior. Went to the cross, laid in a borrowed tomb, but early that Sunday morning got up with all power in his hands. And because he lives, you and I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, you and I are redeemed. Because he lives, you and I are born again. We're saved. We're right with God because of what Christ has done. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. It's by his wounds, his stripes, that we are healed. We thank God that he's made us right spiritually. We thank God that he indeed has once again sent Christ, and he has reconciled. We have been reconciled back to our Father, back in right relationship with him. What a blessing that is. So what a blessing that is to not be strangers, not be enemies of God, but be a son or a daughter of the living God, to be children of the living God. So we thank God for the choir reminding us of that. Father, we are indeed thankful this morning. We're grateful that we are your children. We are the sheep of your pasture. You, dear God, you, dear Jesus, you are a good shepherd. And a shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. Even, dear Lord, you told us if you have 100 and but then there's 99 and there's one missing, you leave the 99 and go look for the one. So we thank you, dear Jesus. You came and sought us. You came to seek and to save those who were lost, those who were in need of a physician, who were in need of a healer, who were in need of a savior. We thank you, dear Jesus, that you came and walked this earth for 33 years and gave sight to the blind. You cleansed the lepers. You allowed those who were lame to walk, the blind to see. You even rose people from the dead. And then, of course, once again, you went to the cross, died for our sins, was buried, but rose again with all power in your hands. So even now, dear Lord, I pray that your resurrection power, that your spirit, your word will find good soil in our hearts, in our minds, that it will not be trampled by the roadside or not fall amongst thorns or thistles or not get choked out, but we pray that it will find good soil and bear great fruit. Let us all, dear Lord, not be just hearers of the word of God, but let us be doers. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning, and I'm going to finish Psalms 91 that I had begun to preach a couple of weeks ago. Even as we think about prayer, let us continue to keep the families of Whitmore in our prayers, and just our school system in general, and our very own brother, Dr. Kirk Kelly. Let us definitely keep them in prayer. And also this morning, I'll be praying for Sister Jean Warren. She's a little under the weather this morning, and Sister Shirley Pittner as well. Continue to lift those saints up in prayer. It's good that we can pray for one another. We're told, we're called, we're commanded, really, to pray for one another. Brother Tommy Sims also, he's a little under the weather this morning. So let's pray for the members of our local church here who are experiencing some sickness and illness. But we thank God that we do serve a healer. We do serve a healer. This too shall pass. You know, oftentimes he heals us on this side, but ultimately he's going to heal us ultimately forever on the other side. But we get healed one way or the other. We get healed. Amen. Amen. Psalms 91. I'm going to start reading in verse 7. Which says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. And this is God himself speaking directly to us. He says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Listen to this promise. The Lord said, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. Let me read that again. The Lord said, he shall call upon me. He or she shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And show him my salvation. I'm going to preach for a moment since we're in the month of December here. Our Heavenly Father gives great gifts. God, our Heavenly Father gives great gifts. You may be seated. God, our Heavenly Father, he gives great gifts. This time of year, this month of December, especially here in America, it's become so commercialized and so everything is so materialistic. But many of us, even this month of December, even some of us in here this morning, begin to get kind of excited about gifts. Maybe you're thinking about what kind of gift you're going to give a particular person, a particular loved one. Or maybe you're talking about what kind of gifts I'm going to receive. But we all know all these gifts that we get for Christmas or even for a birthday or whatever, they are temporary, they're temporal, and I know, of course, they might have special value if a certain person gives them to us, but these gifts that we typically get, they kind of wear off or they kind of lose their luster after a little while. Now, come on, brothers, only so many times you can wear that tie that you got for Christmas. Or those socks, that was a good gift, but those socks, you know, socks are socks. And sisters, only so many purses and so many shoes you can have. Somebody said, no, I can get some more. I need some more. But these gifts that we often give and receive, they have some value, but it's temporary value. But our God, our Heavenly Father, he gives great and long-lasting and eternal type of gifts. Our God gives great gifts. Our Heavenly Father gives great gifts. So if you don't get the type of gift you think you want this Christmas season or whatever, don't worry about that. If you got the gift from God, if you got the gift of his son, if you got the gift of salvation, that's gift enough right there. That's gift enough right there. Even in this one psalm, the latter part of Psalms, like I said, I preached the first few verses a couple of weeks ago, but the latter part of this psalm, this morning, we're going to see some great gifts from God right out of the text, right out of the Bible. We're going to see the gift of protection that God gives us. That's a great gift. We're going to see the gift of a dwelling place that he gives us. That's a great gift. We're going to see the gift of a refuge that he gives us. That's a great gift. We're going to see the gift of deliverance that he gives us. That's a great, great gift. We're going to see the gift of answered prayer. Oh, that's a great gift. The gift of answered prayer. God answers prayer. That's a gift that he gives us. Also, we're going to see the greatest gift of all, the gift of salvation, that he gives us salvation. There's no greater gift than salvation. This psalm in verse 7, as we dive right in, the psalmist says, 1,000 may fall at my right hand, at my side, and then 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. So if you're taking notes this morning, our God, our Heavenly Father, gives us protection. Our Heavenly Father gives us protection. That's all the psalmist is trying to say there. He says all kind of stuff is going on all around him. People are falling on his left side and on his right side. But my God, he has not allowed that particular thing to come and take me out. He gives us protection. And you know, just in the last week or so, all this different stuff that we've been hearing about, you know, Ohio State, some guy just drives a car and runs into 7 or 8 people and thankfully nobody was killed. You know, all this type of horrific things that are happening. That's just one incident. Thing after thing after thing. It's a blessing to know that we have a God who has promised to protect us. He watches over us. He watches over us. And the psalmist just kind of amplifies that by saying, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. So we thank God for the gift of protection. Don't be confused. It wasn't that ADT alarm system. It wasn't that little car lock that got you through. It was God who watched over you. It was God who watched over you. People today, they so devious at night. They can disarm any of that stuff we think is protecting us. But God, if he is your protector, if he is your shield, nobody can get through him. I remember when I was in college, they came out with these little, it was like a little thing that locked your steering wheel. I forgot what they called it. But my buddies used to always joke me. I used to always put it on my little car. They said, man, a thief will come up and get in your car and leave that thing in the parking lot and drive your car off, you know. That little thing on your steering wheel. That thing ain't gonna stop the thief. I used it though. But whatever little things we use like that, it only has a little bit of a value. But God is the one who really protects us. God is the one who really keeps the thief away from us. God is the one who watches your back and my back. Keeps us from danger seen and unseen. It's God. That's what the psalmist is saying. That's what the psalmist is saying. And even in verse 9, he says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Another gift that God gives us, if you're taking notes, our Father provides us a refuge and a dwelling place. It's right in the text. God gives us a refuge and a dwelling place. A refuge and a dwelling place. Our God, our Father, who gives great gifts, gives us a refuge. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, a refuge is a place of security. God is our refuge, a very present help in a time of danger, in a time of trouble. God is our refuge. We run into him. We spend time with him. He is our refuge. And not only that, he's our dwelling place. He's our dwelling place. If you're born again, if you are a Christian this morning, he's in you and you are in him. He's your dwelling place. You are hanging out with him. Jesus said it this way. If anybody abides with me and I with him, he will bear much fruit. So one of the gifts that God gives us is a gift of presence. We can spend time with our holy God. Oh, let me say that again. We can spend time with our holy God. God doesn't check his schedule and say, well, I'm sorry, brother or sister, son, I'm a little too busy today. I don't have time for you. No. Our God said, come. He said, I'm knocking at your door. If you just open up the door, I'll come in and dine with you and sup with you. I would dwell with you. I am your dwelling place. That's a gift from God to be able to be in the presence of Almighty God. I love when I read in Genesis where it talks about how God comes to walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. That wasn't just for them. God can walk and talk with us even this day. I ought to have a few seasoned saints and say, yeah, he walks with me and he talks with me and leads me along life's narrow way. That's a gift from God. He is our dwelling place. He's our refuge. He's our security. He's our shelter. He's our fortress. He's our high tower. Our God gives great gifts. And because he's our refuge, because he's our dwelling place, verse 10 just catapults right off of that. And verse 10 says, because of that, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Once again, that's a statement of protection. God says, I got your back. God says, I got your back. Now, you know, a friend might can say they got your back, and that's good, that's cool. But we are limited. Our resources are limited. Your friend, your buddy who might really have your back. Guess what? They're not omnipresent. They can't be with you all the time. They're not omnipotent. They're not all powerful. They're not omniscient. They don't know all things. So it's good to know that God has our back. It's good to know that our Heavenly Father, he has our back. He's our refuge. He's our secure place. He's our dwelling place. In him, we have security. I say, in him, we have security. And in him, there is protection. Watch this. Nothing can come near you. Nothing can come near me unless God allows it. Think about that. Let that soak in for a moment. Nothing can come near you or me. No harm, no hurt, no danger unless God, our Heavenly Father, allows it. And I promise you, if he allows it, and sometimes he does, if he allows it, it's ultimately for his glory and ultimately for your good. Oh, let me repeat that one more time. When God allows certain calamities to come into my life or your life, when he allows these things to come toward us, whatever it might be, it's ultimately for his glory and ultimately for your good. if you got any years on your life with Christ, you know, it's good to be with the Lord during the good times. But when the tough times come, Sister Ingram, when the tough times come, Brother Sid, oh, those are the times we really grow closer to the Lord. It's in the midnight hour when we're going through some tough stuff. It's during those tough times that we see that God can give us joy in the midst of sorrow. God can give us peace in the midst of the storm. See, God never said the storm won't come. He just said, I'll be with you even in the midst of a storm. So we know that God is indeed our dwelling place. God is indeed our refuge. God indeed has our back. And because of that, we see in verse 11 and verse 12, I'm not going to keep you too long this morning. He says in verse 11 and verse 12, he says, for he shall, the psalmist said, for God shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. That verse speaks of God even using his angels to protect you and me. You know, God created angels. He created angels. And, you know, in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see angels showing up quite a bit. In the New Testament, we see the angels. I mean, the Old Testament, we see angels. I mean, there are many references. I'm just going to give you a few references about God allowing his angels to show up here on planet Earth. In Genesis chapter 19, verse 1 and 2, two angels came to Sodom and appeared to Lot. In Genesis chapter 21, verse 17, an angel of God called out to Hagar out of heaven. In 1 Kings 19 and 5, an angel appeared to the prophet Elijah when Elijah was under that juniper tree and basically suicidal. God sent an angel there to brother Elijah to basically cook for Elijah and then also to give him some water. So God uses angels. He's used angels in many different cases in the Old and the New Testament. In the New Testament, since this is, of course, quote unquote, the Christmas season, in the New Testament, in Matthew, you might want to write this down. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20, an angel appears, and listen to what the angel says to Joseph. He says, but while Joseph thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, but that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. The angel basically was telling Joseph, don't worry about it. Mary, she's still faithful to you. Yes, she is pregnant, but she's still a virgin. Let that soak in for a moment. The angel saying, Joseph, she's still a virgin. She's pregnant, but she's still a virgin. So the angel was reassuring Joseph that you can go ahead and marry Mary. Who she's carrying is born of the Holy Spirit. That's Emmanuel, God with us. It's okay to go ahead and marry Mary. So angels show up oftentimes to make different proclamations. Also in the New Testament, since once again this is Christmas season, the angel, he showed up and talked to Zechariah. Also in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, I'm just kind of showing you how God uses in the past and even in the present, if he so chooses, uses angels to either proclaim something or also for protection. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, listen to this. And the angel said to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. So the angel told Mary, said, Mary, I know you don't know a man. I know you don't know a man. I know you're still a virgin, but you are pregnant with the Holy One of God. This December, this Christmas, we ought to be thankful that God so loved this world that once again he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be born of a virgin called Mary. So the angel, they weren't through proclaiming. They went on even in the very next chapter in Luke. These shepherds were out in the field by night. We know this biblical account. And listen to what the angel said. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God. That's a good thing to do. Praising God. And saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. We thank God that indeed he sent the angels to make an announcement to the shepherds. Hey, I'm going to send a savior by the name of Jesus. So God uses angels. He uses angels. Even in Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, angels came to minister to Jesus. you know, when Jesus had been in the wilderness for 40 days and he didn't eat or drink anything for 40 days and 40 nights. And then, of course, here comes the devil to tempt them. And Jesus, each temptation, Jesus, of course, refuted him with the word of God. Matter of fact, the devil even used Psalms 91. He used Psalms 91, the verses I just read, verses 12 and 13. And he kind of manipulated them a little bit. And he basically told Jesus, Jesus, just jump on off the, jump on off. You're not going to be hurt. God will send his angels to bear you up. And Jesus said, also the scripture said, don't tempt the Lord thy God. Don't tempt or test God. But God does send, he has sent angels. So listen to this. We should learn from Jesus. Just because God is our refuge, just because God protects us, just because he is our dwelling place, just because even our Heavenly Father has sent angels to watch over us, we are not to put ourselves in any unnecessary danger. So when you leave here today, don't go talking about, well, I'm going to step out in this highway because God, he's going to send his angels to block the truck. No. That's being very foolish. That's being very unwise. That's tempting the Lord thy God. We are not to put ourselves in any unnecessary danger, but we can say as Christians that God is watching over us. God does protect us. He does go before us, and he's also our rear guard, as the prophet Isaiah says. That's good to know that God is leading me. He goes before me, but also he's my rear guard. And not only that, he's on both sides of me. So he's always around me, watching over me, so I don't have to worry about what's going to happen to me. I just need to worship God. I just need to serve him and follow him. God gives us his protection. What a great gift that is. What a great gift that is. We don't have to be all stressed out and lose it like the regular people do. We can say, well, God is watching over me. Yeah, I'm going to be prayerful. Yeah, I'm going to be wise. I'm going to be cautious. But God is watching over me. Somebody heard that. God is watching over me. So much so, look at what the psalmist said in verse 13. Look at what he said. He says, you should tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Now, this is a metaphor, simply reemphasizing God's protection of his people from deadly attacks. So definitely the scriptures are not saying, that's why even when we read the Bible, we take everything we get in the Bible literal where we can, but then other times it might be a simile or a metaphor or just kind of giving us an example. Now God is definitely not saying when you leave out of here, saints, go find you a cobra. Go find a snake. Now, none of us ought to like snakes. Go find a snake and just step on his head or something and see what happens. No. Or find a lion and go mess with him. No. God is not saying that. God is not saying that. He's just saying that, look, I just want to let you know I am protecting you. I am watching over you. I do have your back. I am your protector. I am your refuge. I am your dwelling place. I even have my angels watching over you. That's an amazing thing. You just stop and think about it. I mean, I don't know about you. To my knowledge, I've never seen an angel, but we just saw in scripture where there are angels have interacted with people. God has, and not even just angels, but he watches over us. That's a gift from God, his protection. Not only that, because verse 14, look what he says in verse 14. God speaking, the Lord says, because he or she has set his love upon me, therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. I will set him on high because he has known my name. And then verse 15, he shall call upon me. That's prayer. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. So another great gift from God, another great, great gift from God. You want to write this down, is the gift of answered prayer. Is the gift of answered prayer. The gift of answered prayer. Listen to what the Lord said. The Lord said, hey, look, he who has set his love upon me, he who is in love with me, and this love here is a deep longing for God. It's a clinging to God. It's a dwelling and abiding with God. God said, the one who has given their life to me, the one who is born again, the one who is my son or my daughter, listen to the promise that God gives to that person, the one who is the redeemed of God. God said, he will call upon me and I will answer him. He said, he will call upon me and I will answer him. You know, in life, there are often many things that happen that you and I really feel helpless and hopeless about. Most recently, with the Woodmore bus accident, that's one example. Even just watching the news just yesterday, out in Oakland, I have relatives in Oakland, out in Oakland, California, that massive fire that happened. I mean, up in Gatlinburg, I can go on and on and on. Things in our personal life that happened to me, like, man, I don't know how I'm gonna deal with this. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I don't know how I'm gonna make these ends meet. I don't know how I'm gonna pay this bill. I don't know how I'm gonna, I got this bad medical report. Whatever it might have been, whatever it might be. But our God said, if your love is upon me, our God said, if we have a relationship, if I'm your father and you're my son or daughter, our God said, you will call upon me and I will answer you. He said, you will call upon me and I will answer you. Has anybody ever been just down and out and called on the Lord and he heard your cry? He heard your cry. What greater gift can we have than that, than the God of the universe? That we, little old mere mortals here on planet Earth, can call out to him, can cry out to him, and our God, he said, I will hear you and I will answer you. Now we must admit, oftentimes he doesn't answer the way we might think he should or how we want him to, or sometimes he might be a little slow or whatever, but our God said he will and he does answer us. He does answer us. Let me give you a few more witnesses right out of the Psalms, Psalms 34:17 says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. I need to say that one more. I need to say that just for me one more time. The righteous cry out and the Lord, our God, our Heavenly Father, hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. What a blessing. What a blessing. Psalms 56 and 9, the psalmist says, when I cry out to God, when I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know because God is for me. Oh, that's good news, saint. The psalmist says, when I cry out, the enemies are right before me, but they turn back. And I know this is so because God is for me. God got my back. He's my refuge. He's my dwelling place. He's my fortress. He's my high tower. Also, the psalmist said in Psalms, I'm just giving a few witnesses, a few testimonies. Psalms 107:28 says, then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. Let me reread that. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble. This is the word of God. And he brings them out of their distresses. Has anybody ever been in a distressful situation? Has anybody ever been in a down and out situation and cried out to the Lord, cried out to Jesus, and he brought you out of your trouble? Psalms 55:16. These are some of the great gifts that God gives us. The gift of answered prayer, the gift of deliverance, the gift of protection. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. That's Psalms 55:16. So as for me, I will call upon God and the Lord shall save me. All of us in here that are born again this morning, there was a time in your life and my life that we cried out to God. Say, God, I am a sinner, sinking deep in my sin. I have no joy, no peace. My life is just messed up. And I need Jesus. I repent of my sin and I turn to you. And we cried out to God for salvation. And God heard and answered our cry. Oh, it ought to be about 50. It ought to be about however many people in here this morning that know the Lord. You ought to be waving your hand and jumping up or something. We cried out to the Lord in our lostness, in our dark place, and God heard and answered our prayer as it relates to salvation. I thank God for hearing the cry of the sinner, the person that's on their way to hell. God heard our cry. He said, in the day of my trouble, Psalms 86:7, he said, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. God is a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. I said, God is a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. I haven't shared this in some years. I used to share it a lot, but Mother Howard told me once, she said, you tell that story all the time. So I said, well, I'm going to stop. And it's so much then. But I guess, you know, all of us got some opportunities, got some examples in our life where we cried out to God with a situation that was outside of our reach, and we saw God move in a miraculous way. I remember when my oldest daughter, who lives in Michigan, she's 30 years old now. She was about 10 or 11 at the time. And I remember she was here visiting Tanya and I. That was even before Ashley and Ariana came along. And you know, it was December, and she came down to visit me for Christmas. And then she had to get on back to Michigan. And I should never forget it. It was kind of stormy and a lot of wintry stuff, especially up that way. And she had already missed one day of flight, and so she needed to get on back to go to school. And I remember, I said, man, I got to get this young lady, get her onto the plane and get her back and everything, get her back to her mom. And so I remember her flight left like at 7 o'clock on a Tuesday morning or something, 7 a.m. out of Nashville. So I'm saying, okay, 7 a.m., that's pretty early, but you gain an hour, and that's central time. I said, I'll be okay. We get up about 3:30 or 4, and we hit the highway. So we got up early and hit the highway, and my little daughter, we was passing Hamilton Place Mall, she said, Daddy, I'm hungry. I was like, man, we don't have time to be stopping for no food. But she was hungry, so we stopped at Crystal. She liked the little Crystal sunrises, so we stopped there. And I said, sure, it's about 4:30 in the morning, Brother Rodney. Surely nobody be in line. It's just take about 2 minutes, and we back on the interstate. I promise you, it took about 20 minutes just to get through Crystal that morning. I guess people had gone out to the club late that last night or something. I don't know what it was. But we went on and got the little Crystal, and we got back on the interstate, and we going, and I'm, you know, it's about 2 hours before a flight takes off, and I'm going on to Nashville, and I'm flying. Don't tell the police, but I'm going about 80, 85, and 90, trying to get on up to Nashville. And then we finally get to the airport, I'll never forget this. It was like 7 o'clock, 7 a.m., that's when our flight's supposed to leave, 7 a.m., and I come up to the main place where you check in, and there was a long line. I started praying then. I should have been praying. Y'all with me? I should have been praying when we left Chattanooga. And I said, Lord, I mean, you know, my little daughter, she needs to get on back to Michigan. And said, Lord, you know, work this situation out. I'm just, you know, her flight, 7 o'clock at 7 a.m. right now. The flight's supposed to leave right now. And sure enough, I began to pray. I saw God begin to work. This long line eventually came over to the little thing and said, all of you who are going to Chicago, we were going to Detroit, she was going to Detroit, all of you who are going to Chicago can get over in this line. Guess what? The line just diminished right away. Boom. A lot of people got out of our line and got over in the Chicago line. I said, oh, I see God, prayer really working. It's working. It's working. I said, Lord, well, you know, I don't want to be late. So we get up there to the counter. It's about 7:15. Flight's about to left at 7 o'clock. And the lady, she checked us on in. And so I'm like, you know, I'm really kind of at peace now, because before then I was kind of stressing out. But now, so I'm praying. I know God got this. He's going to work this out. I don't know how he's going to do it. And sure enough, as she and I walked through the Nashville terminal and began to approach her particular terminal spot, I saw a good sign. I saw a lot of people sitting around. I said, that's a good sign. And as soon as we got there and sat down, me and my daughter, they came over the loudspeaker. They said, we're sorry that we've been having to delay this flight. We were looking for this sanitation device. We can't find it. I'm sorry, but we'll let you know when something changes. And so I looked over at my daughter. I said, see, our God held up the airplane just for you. And she still remembers that to the day. And sure enough, a few minutes later, they came back over. They said, we've now found the sanitation device. Y'all now can begin boarding the flight. I said, prayer really works. I held up an airplane for my daughter. Prayer works. And that still, like I said, that was like 20 years. That still sticks in her mind. Prayer works. Holding up an airplane, it's not too hard for our God. It's not too hard for our God. Matter of fact, ask Peter, we're talking about how God works out things. Ask Peter, there was one time when Peter was in jail in Acts chapter 12, Peter was in jail, and they were praying for Peter. They were praying for Peter that God would take care of him and perhaps get him out of jail, not having beheaded. They were praying for Peter, and God sent an angel to let brother Peter out of jail. That's the good part. But the semi-bad part is when Peter showed up at the house where they were praying for Peter, for God to get Peter out of jail. They didn't even believe that was Peter at the door. They didn't even believe that was Peter at the door. So sometimes we pray and we don't even have the faith that God going to work that thing out. But God is a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. He's a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. So God is indeed a God of protection. God is indeed a God who is our dwelling place, our refuge. God is indeed a God of deliverance. Verse 14, the Lord says, I will deliver him. I will deliver him. God is a God of deliverance. God is a God of deliverance. God is a God. One of his gifts is a gift of answered prayer, a gift of answered prayer. But also look at verse 16 as I'm almost through. This is God speaking. God said, he should call upon me and I will answer him. That's answer prayer. He said, I will be with him in trouble. That's another gift right there. God promises us that he will be with us in trouble. So you see, I can't preach it like the prosperity boys. I'm not going to tell you there's not going to be any trouble coming. Trouble is coming. Jesus said, in this life, brothers and sisters, you will have trouble. But Jesus said, take courage, for I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world, but trouble is coming. God says, I will be with you in trouble. When you're in the midst of the fiery furnace, I'll be there. When you're thrown into the lion's den, I'll be there. When you're on the stormy sea, I'll be there. I can calm the raging sea. Even in the midst of your sorrows, I can dry up your tears. I can give you joy in the midst of sorrows. Peace in the midst of a storm. So storms will come. Tough times will come. But God said, I will be with him who loves me. I'll be with him in the tough time. I'll be with them in the doctor's office when you get a tough medical report. I'll be with them when you just, man, I can't pay that last bill that I need to pay. I will be with them in the midst of trouble. Do I have a witness? God will be with us in the midst of trouble. Well, if you hadn't, this is for the young people maybe. If you hadn't been in any trouble, just keep on living. We live in a fallen world. Trouble is going to come, especially when you're trying to walk for the Lord. Everybody else is going the other direction. You're going to run into some trouble. But take courage. God said, I'm with you. Even in the midst of trouble, I am with you. And then he said, I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Our God, our Heavenly Father, gives great gifts. He gives us the gift of protection. He gives us the gift of refuge and a dwelling place. He gives us the gift of deliverance. He gives us the gift of answered prayer. He gives us the gift that even though we go through trouble, he's with us even in the midst of trouble. As Paul said, I often call on Paul. Paul said one time when he got arrested, y'all heard this and probably read it. He said, none were with me. All forsook me, but the Lord stood with me. But God stood, Jesus stood with me. All those gifts are good. All those gifts are great. But this morning, all of us, as we get ready to go to the Lord's supper table, all of us are eternally grateful that God gives us the great gift of salvation. Don't ever fly past that. Don't ever overlook that. Don't ever take that for granted, that God himself has given you and me the great gift, or at least the offer of the gift of salvation. And Ephesians 2 says it's a free gift. It's a free gift. I say it's a free gift. Nothing you did or I did to earn it. It's a free gift. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, not of works lest anyone should boast. It's a free gift. Now, after receiving the gift, after getting saved, you and I are to do some works. We should produce fruits of righteousness. But we are saved by this free gift called salvation. John 3:16 and 3:17 says, for God so loved the world that he gave the first great gift. He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, shall not go to hell, but shall have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into this world to judge or condemn the world, but he sent his son, listen to that, he sent his son into this world that the world through him, through Christ, might be saved. Oh, that's a great giver. That's a great gift that God sent his son, that you and I might not go to hell, but through him might be saved. Jesus said himself, I come to seek and to save those who were lost. They were talking one time about Jesus. Well, asking the disciples and the Pharisees, they just cracked me up sometimes. They were asking his disciples about, what is your Master, why does he hang out with the sinners all the time? Why he's always hanging with the tax collectors? And Jesus said, hey, well, people don't need a physician. Jesus, I came to get those that are sick. I came to get those that were sin sick. I came to get those, Sister Lawton, who were down and out. I came to seek and to save. That's his mission. Jesus, I've come to seek and to save those who were lost. Those who were lost. And guess what? All of us were in that boat called lost. I said, all of us were in that boat called lost. So when we think about God, he so loves us so much that he demonstrates his own love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Romans 10:13 said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a great gift. What a great opportunity for lifelong, eternal long fellowship and relationship with a great God. God said, I will show her my salvation. The one who have put their love onto me, the one who clings to me, the one who cries out to me. God said, I will show him my salvation. Now, anything else after that is really gravy and whatever. But if you've experienced the free gift of God's salvation, if you've experienced the free gift of God's salvation, you know, hell canceled, heaven guaranteed, taken off the road to death and destruction and put on the highway to heaven. If you've experienced that, you know that our God gives great gifts. You know that our Heavenly Father gives good and perfect gifts. Every good and perfect gift, James says, comes from above. Every good and everything that you have that's good, guess what? God gave it to you. I say, everything that you have that's good, God gave it to you. He gives good gifts. He gives great gifts. He gives great gifts. So this December, this Christmas season, as we interact with the culture and as we interact with other believers, let us always be mindful that our God, our Heavenly Father, he gives the greatest gifts. Let me just make it singular. He has given the greatest gift of all. I said, he's given the greatest gift of all. I said, he's given the greatest gift of all. He's given us our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But then you can also say, he gives me protection. You can also say he's my dwelling place. You can also say he blesses me with his presence. You can also say he leads me along life's narrow way. But our God gives great gifts.